This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you are here with Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where things get pretty intimate between two members of the Checkpoint team. My name is Elliot. I am joined by Luke.
Hey!
How we doing?
It's been a while for an Intimates for me.
We're the OGs of Checkpoint Intimates.
The OG Intimates. Sounds like a weird porno title or something.
Well, it probably is.
OG Intimates.
Don't Google it.
Not at work. If you're at home, Google away. Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
No problem. This week on the show, we want to talk about defining difficulty within a video game, which is a pretty broad spectrum kind of topic.
Yeah.
Because defining difficulty is hard, right? It's like, what makes a game difficult, or is this difficult for a certain type of person, or is it just a broad spectrum difficult for the entirety of the player base? Like, obviously, we have some games that thrive on difficulty, and like that's their whole purpose.
Well, we're in that era now, aren't we? Where we're in a world where difficulty is praised almost. It's like it gets critical acclaim for being difficult. So games this year, for example, like Cuphead, which is notoriously difficult and challenging, and people got really great reviews. People love it. The Souls era, so the Dark Souls franchise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have entire genres based on difficulty. It's like a big part of their core makeup.
Even Metroidvania games are quite difficult.
Yeah, I'd say the same about roguelikes as well, because they have to be this challenge because you're replaying them over and over again until you finally beat them. So difficulty, it is a hard thing to define, because difficulty will be different from one person to another. If you're really well versed at a specific genre or a specific franchise, that's going to be far less difficult for you than it would be for somebody who is fresh to that thing. So it is an interesting topic to like discuss how difficult a game should be. Is it okay to criticize a game for being too difficult, or does it actually make your game better in some instances?
I think a lot of that comes down to why is your game so difficult? What makes it hard? And you can criticize, for example, some of the earlier Souls games. The combat is almost intentionally clunky. It's a bit slow. You can figure it out and you can learn it, yes. But if you make one wrong move, all of a sudden when an enemy just like slashes you five times and you're instantly dead.
Yes.
And you could argue that's poor game design, because it's not like it was challenging and you could have got out of it. It's like, no, you were always going to die because of the way the enemy was placed. And maybe that's not fair. Maybe that's what you look at. Whilst you have games like Cuphead where there is such a steep learning curve, but you do genuinely feel like you're progressing as you get better, and you do sharpen your hand-eye coordination skills. It doesn't feel like the game's screwing you. It feels like the game has a set mechanic in place, and you have to get better at that mechanic.
Yeah, and I think that is a good distinction, right? Nobody wants to feel like they're being unfairly treated by the video game.
Screwed, you know? You throw the controller, that was crap!
Yeah.
Yeah, that just shouldn't have happened.
That's bullshit. Like, I shouldn't have died there. Like, how could I possibly have known? Like, this game is deliberately, trying to fuck with me.
Yeah, I'm not playing this anymore. I'm done.
Yeah.
I had that moment with, I think it was Dark Souls 2.
Oh, no.
That happened. I threw my controller into a different room. I threw it through a doorway and broke the controller because I was like, I'm done with you. I'm done.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's where it becomes a matter of, is it challenging to the point where you could learn it and get better? Or is it challenging to the point where it's unfair? And that's the difference.
And I think you see that a lot, right? Like, I mentioned roguelites before, and that's super reminiscent, because you have games like, let's talk about Spelunky, because that's a game I played a lot of time in.
Sure.
And the game is super, very, very challenging. Like, it deliberately designed to be challenging. But at the same time, nothing is the game's fault. If you fail, it's because you've done something wrong, but it's just so easy to do something wrong, because there's so many things you have to do, and time, and make sure you're, like, being very meticulous in your movements so that you're not triggering something you didn't quite see.
Yeah.
So it is that kind of walking the fine line between, oh, the game is unfairly designed versus actually the game is really well designed. It's just asking a lot of the player.
Yeah. And I guess it sort of makes you think about, you know, there are games, and you know, we review games on Checkpoint, of course. Mm. We give our opinion for what it's worth on titles that we play. And I've reviewed games from the Souls franchise. The Surge earlier this year I reviewed as well.
Neo.
I reviewed Cuphead. So I'm just thinking about it. I review all the hard games.
Why are you doing this to yourself?
What am I doing? This is why I'm so stressed all the time. I'm reviewing all these tough-as-nails games that are ridiculous. What's wrong with me? I had an epiphany. But, you know, and I guess you'd like to think that the person that played the game was at least able to complete it or get far enough in it to have that opinion. And I can say hand on heart that I did, and I have. And so I've actually spent a lot of time with these games, and I feel like because I've finished them, because I've played them for years, and I think I know the genre really well, and it's a genre that I quite like, I feel like I have the right to say, is it too difficult, or is it just difficult enough?
Or are you a bad person to say that because you have spent so much time playing this genre that you're actually not representative of the wider population and the player base?
Right, fuck me, right? I mean, I've played... You're right, I've played Demon's Souls. I imported it from the US back in the day when it wasn't released over here. Dark Souls 1, 2, 3, Bloodborne, Nioh, The Surge, Lords of the Fallen even. I played all these
games. Even the game that nobody plays.
Even the one that nobody played, I played and reviewed that game here on Checkpoint 3 years ago.
So for you to say that this game actually
is good or bad or hard or easy or whatever.
Yeah, or even just to say that it's not unfair. Like maybe your perspective on what is too challenging or not challenging enough is so vastly different from somebody else's that it becomes this really big moral dilemma of, well, who should be reviewing a game? Like, do you want experts who are playing these games, or do you want somebody who might be, you know, like know a lot about the industry and be able to critique and have like really good, like well-versed in that area, but may not be that good at games?
Yeah, and that's the thing, right? And when we have all the games that we review every year, because there's so many bloody games, and I put it out to the group of all of us in Checkpoint. I say, well, who has strengths in this genre? Who likes this genre? Who actually cares about it? I don't want to give FIFA to someone that doesn't like soccer, right? It's stupid. So you try and give it to someone that's going to actually understand what the market is. But then at the same time, games are on the shelves in stores, right? They're lining the shelves, all these new releases all the time. And, you know, people who want to play these genres who might not have played them before, they still matter. Like, their dollar still matters, right? The developers and the publishers are getting money from people that buy these games. So, really, you have to think about, it's made for people who like that genre, but then should that exclude all others?
And, and that is a big question because I think we've reached the point where there are so many video games tailored to so many different, you know, walks of life that... You can, in my opinion, you can release a video game that is tough as nails and excludes a large population of the player base because I think it's okay to be niche. Like, a lot of games are niche and are aimed at a certain percentage of people. But at the same time, I say that, and then there'll be something that comes out and it looks really freaking awesome and I'm hyped for, and then I find out that maybe, like, it's a JRPG or something I'm less well-known for. Or an RTS, exactly. And I'm like, well, these just aren't my genres. Like, am I even going to be able to have fun playing this? Like, I thought it looked cool, but am I going to be able to have fun playing this? Because I just don't know this genre very well.
Yeah.
Like, is it going to cater to people like me, or is it going to be exclusionary? And is it okay for me to dislike it if it's exclusionary?
Yeah, and I mean, it's it happened recently. There was... Total War Warhammer 2, whatever it was, that came out recently.
Yep.
And we had Jen review that for us for Checkpoint. And it was the kind of thing where she didn't have experience with that franchise, right? But no one on Checkpoint did. So we're like, well, we want to review this game. It's an important title to review. Here's some inner workings for you guys listening. and it was like, well, okay, you know what? The game is out and people are raving about how good it is because they're raving about it from that really insular perspective of, I love Warhammer, I love Total War, I love RTSs, this game is a 10 out of 10 game, which most of the reviews were basically saying at that point. So then you sort of go, well, actually though, I am interested in this franchise and all I'm reading about it are like terminology I don't get, there's words I don't understand, there's like lore and history that I have no idea what it is, but the game looks fantastic and I want to play it. So how do you then pitch it to someone like me who's never played it before? Or do you not actually care about my opinion?
Like, whose opinion holds more weight at that point? And that's a really hard question to even ask because... Like, surely the initial thought is, well, the person who knows the genre or is really well-versed in this specific, you know, franchise, surely their opinion holds more weight. But then, as somebody from an outside perspective, maybe their opinion doesn't hold that much weight to you because their perspectives is just so vastly different from your own.
Well, there's biases, you know, and you've got to factor that in. And I think I fall into a trap of being really excited and overhyping certain games that I'm really keen on. One for me this year that I... loved is Persona 5.
Mm-hmm.
JRPG, very heavily influenced from Japanese culture. I love Japanese culture. That is a game that when I was playing it, every single thing that I did during that game, I literally felt like, wow, this was made for me. This is everything I want in a video game. This is fantastic. And of course, I'm going to give it a positive review, and I did. And it did get positive reviews across the board, so it's not like my bias meant that I was hyping a game that was crap, you know what I mean? But at the same time, just because I love Japan so much, and because I love JRPGs so much, that doesn't mean that you're going to like it, Elliot.
Yeah.
You don't like Japan that much. You don't like JRPGs that much. You know what I mean?
I hate Japan.
Japan! But you know what I mean? Like, you're hearing me talk about it.
Yeah.
And you're kind of going, well, of course you like it, Luke.
Yeah, exactly.
This matches your interests. You know?
That's true. And like the same can be said for every gamer. Everyone has their own interests, and that will, you know, skew things in their own field and direction. Have you ever played a game and thought, this is too difficult? Like, I don't like this?
I find, you know what? There's games that have too many decisions in them, and that freaks me out. I don't like having a lot of choice.
Right.
I'm all about open worlds and like side quests and structures and missions and stuff. But when there's a game that just says, do whatever you want, I get really stressed.
So something like Minecraft.
Something like Minecraft. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, do whatever you want. There was an MMORPG that I played recently called Albion Online.
Yep.
And that's an MMORPG where there's like two quests at the start, but then after that, there's no quests.
Yeah.
It's just do what you want. Live in the world, make your own house, have a farm if you want to, go and kill some stuff if you want to. It's so open, and I hated it. I was just like, this is daunting, this is stressful. I want to jump in and play something for a couple of hours and make progress. And I feel like I can't make progress in those games. I'm done.
You almost have to be able to set yourself goals in those games. And that's something that took me a while to learn as well. You have to be able to set yourself goals because the game's not going to do it for you. And in a sense, that can be super empowering because you're not just achieving something arbitrary. You're achieving something you laid out for yourself. But the flip side of that is there's no achievement popping up saying, well done, you did it. You just have to, like, all that kudos has to be within your own mind.
Yeah.
And for some people, that's not going to cut it.
Yeah, I'm like super fragile. I can't do that. I can't praise myself. Those games I find quite challenging. I did find a couple of the Souls games quite difficult at first. Mm. I wasn't reviewing them at the time. I was just a consumer. And there were a couple I gave up on because they were too hard.
Yeah, I never finished the first Souls game because it was my first into the series. Or the first into the genre. And it is a super challenging game, but then by the time 2 and 3 rolled around, I was able to complete them because I had this experience with number 1. And so they are difficult games, but I like the fact that they're difficult because that adds to it. Like, the fact that you're learning as you play and the game is going to punish you for doing something wrong means that every time you're victorious, it really means something. Like, it's your achievement you've made. So by that logic, like, I can't really fault games for being too difficult. I don't mind games being difficult because most of the time, I'm able to overcome that.
Yeah.
But other people may not have that same kind of technical abilities.
Oh, it's not even technical abilities initially, but initially it's time spent to learn. And I think that not everyone has time to learn how a Souls game works and the intricacies of combat to ensure that you can progress, especially with those bosses and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have time to learn from your mistakes and go back and fix things, you'll never do any well in those games. So there's something quite comforting about a game like, we'll say Mario, for example, where you know, you pick up that game, Odyssey, for example, you pick it up and you know what to do straight away. You know what to jump, double jump. You can do this, you can collect this. Platforming from area to area, it just makes sense. It's simple, and you don't need to learn anything. There's tutorials, but you really know them. You know what I mean? It's almost like it's ingrained in us as a gamer. You know how to play those games. And that, to me, speaks well to a very well-crafted, well-designed experience where it almost feels like the controllers are an extension of your body.
Mm-hmm.
You're not learning a weird button combination to get through something. You're just doing it before you even know what you're doing. And that's really smart game design.
I think we've raised a good point here, actually, because it is sometimes it is technical ability. Your physical mechanics, your inputs into the controller or the keyboard and mouse is what limits you from achieving something that's difficult. But sometimes games are able to have difficulty just through design.
Yeah.
So, like, if you look at puzzle games, for instance, like, there might be zero mechanical ability needed, but it's all your mind. You have to be able to figure out the puzzle and implement the solution. Yeah. And those games can get incredibly challenging.
Look, I love The Witness, puzzle games. For example. The Witness is one.
Was very, very challenging, and that was a game that took me a long time, full of backtracking. Because the game doesn't tell you what area you have to go to.
It doesn't
explain the mechanics. You have to kind of figure them out via imagery and your own kind of trial and error. So yeah, super challenging game, but I liked that it was so challenging because it meant I spent so much time in this beautiful world as well.
And you want a puzzle game to be hard, right? Solving a puzzle should feel like an accomplishment.
If you're not challenging yourself, what's the point of having a puzzle game?
But it's a fine line, because if you can't complete the puzzle and can't progress, you're not going to play the game again. So you got to find that... Developers have to find that really tight balance of, like, how hard is too hard where someone's going to turn the game off and say, fuck this, I'm never playing it again.
Yeah.
Versus, no, I can do this, I can progress. And it's really difficult. I think that, you know, puzzle games should be difficult, definitely. I think there are other games that need to be challenging and hard, like crime scene investigation type games as well, and... Yeah, things that require story elements and piecing things together should be a bit difficult. I think that otherwise, sometimes games just go into autopilot and you get bored because you're just not even like contributing anything to anything.
Yeah, and well, I guess that's why it's super useful for some games to have a difficulty slider so that you can set the difficulty for yourself. Yeah.
Well,
but obviously not every game is capable of having that as part of its mechanical layout, you know?
And there are some games that... You're absolutely right. People shouldn't review because they don't even understand it. Because, for example, WWE 2K18, a wrestling franchise, right? There's no way I'd let you review that.
No.
It's not made for you. But it's not. It's never made for you. And it's not meant to bring people in like, oh, people who aren't wrestling fans might buy this. No, they won't. The only ones buying a wrestling game are wrestling fans. No. So a wrestling fan should review it. Otherwise, it's like completely off base and it's not even relevant. So I think there are some genres, like sports in particular, where I think that it does need to have someone that understands it to really appreciate whether it's hard or not in the first place.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a waste of time.
So have we defined difficulty? Have we managed to do it? No.
I think you can. It's hard, isn't it? It is so subjective. And what I find hard, someone else might find really easy and vice versa as well. So absolutely. I think that it's just everyone is built and wired differently. I think that ultimately games like Mario that are simple enough where you can pick up and play without a lot of instruction are the ones that sell the best because they're an easy pitch, you know. You're not pitching a Souls game to someone and saying, well, you're going to have to probably die a lot for the first 10 hours before you even make any progress. That doesn't sound appealing to me. If you haven't played it before, you're going to go, nah, I don't have time for that. Yeah. I can get like 100 moons in Mario in that time. It's just a real difference.
Yeah, that is. Like, and if you're new to gaming as well, like, there's no way I would recommend some stuff to certain gamers because just the sheer challenge of it would be...
Oh.
It would be like walking into a wall. Like, what's the point?
Yeah, my partner's watched me play Cuphead before and it's been like, there's no way.
Yeah.
No, he's not a gamer. No way. But he'll play like Yoshi's Woolly World or a platformer with me, like a side-scrolling platformer. But he's watched me play Cuphead and was just like, there is no chance.
Yeah.
Partly because he would suck at it, but also partly because I would probably be angry at him for sucking at it so badly and keeping me down.
I've been there before.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all the time we've got. We have been Checkpoint Intimates. Luke, thank you for joining me.
You're so welcome.
I have been Elliot, and we have been Defining Difficulty. Join us next week for another Checkpoint Intimate.
Well, we tried anyway.
Well, yeah. Try to fail.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.